Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Blaine Barton welcomes fellow technical evangelist Brian Hitney to the show as they discuss how you can use PowerShell to automate and manage tasks and processes in your Windows Azure virtual machines and cloud services. Tune in as Brian demos for us a simple scenario where he creates an Azure storage account, ties it into a new service, and deploys it from staging to production, all by using Windows PowerShell. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time Radio, TechNet Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist with Microsoft. And today I have a very special guest, friend, colleague, and we work on the same team, Mr. Brian Hitney. Give it up for Brian. Crowd goes
Yay,
wild.
Hey, me.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing well. I'm doing well. I think you're pushing it with the friend part. We're colleagues, but I don't know if I'd go as far as saying we're friends. I don't...
Well, let's work on that. Let's count
All right.
up for long. So you're a DE, a developer evangelist for the developer and platform evangelism team. We work together on the same team. We're working on Azure. And I thought I'd bring you on the show, talk a little about Azure as a platform, and then we'll talk about PowerShell, and we'll go into some demos, and we'll enlighten our viewers with what we're going to bring to the table with Windows Azure in the next few months. Sound good?
Yeah, it sounds great. I mean, you and I have spent a lot of time together recently, right, with all of our Azure launch events. So it's certainly a hot topic right now, and both in the developer and the IT space. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting because even in the last few years of being in this role, we haven't really spent a lot of time with developer. We've kind of been, we've kind of been your little island, and IT's been that kind of their little island. And now with Windows Azure, I think it's a great opportunity to actually bring us closer together and kind of bridge those two, the IT pro and developer, because there are a lot of similarities even with the development tools, but more importantly with things like PowerShell. So I'm actually pretty excited to kind of dive into some new areas of learning. And I'm sure you're kind of getting the same, right, with the IT pro side of things. So,
yeah.
Let's kick it off. But the first thing I want to do before I talk about, lay the foundation for Windows Azure discussion, talk about PowerShell, I always ask my guests two very special questions, Brian. The first question is always a good one, and that is, how did you get started with computers?
Oh, gosh. So my dad, he worked for IBM his whole life. So I remember when the original IBM PC came out in, 1980, 81, something like that. I remember having that, and we're talking the green screen with a single 5 1/4 inch floppy drive. And so I always had that. And I remember hacking some of the games like Maxit and all these DOS-based games way back in the day. So just kind of grew from there.
That's awesome, yeah. So Big Blue. So go back a few years, huh? About the first PC, first line of PCs. I too had the opportunity to use A and B floppy back and forth.
That's right.
Awesome. So how'd you get started with DPE? How'd you come into Microsoft? What's your background? How'd you get started in all this Azure stuff?
Yeah. So good question. Well, I started doing web development a number of years ago, a long time ago, early in my career. To me, web was just the coolest thing, especially e-commerce. I thought that was just awesome. And now, of course, it's ubiquitous, right? I mean, that's just how people do business now. So I started doing that. I worked for a few companies and eventually found my way out to Seattle. I'm originally from the New York area, but over a course of a number of jobs, started moving west. I was trying to move south, but somehow it just kept moving west, and ended up getting a job on the Windows team in Redmond. So I stayed out there for a couple of years, and then about 5 years ago, we had a great opportunity to finally move south. So I'm in North Carolina now, and that's obviously, I know you're down in Florida, but so we had that opportunity to move out here and get into the developer evangelism, which was a pretty cool move. I mean, it was a first role that I've had where I wasn't just going to be hands-on, responsible for coding and a product, but rather the evangelism aspect of getting out there and talking about it. So it was a pretty big change, but I love it because I've been out here now for 5-6 years doing it. So it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, so the developer and platform evangelism team is critical to Microsoft's, really the success of our business, right? So once again, welcome. We're talking about Azure. Brian, take us through a 30,000-foot level of the day in life of Brian Hitney and Windows Azure, right? But let's bring it kind of top, high level, and then we'll kind of focus it down into more of a narrow focus with PowerShell.
Okay. All right. So, well, let's just dive into some slides first, right, to give a little bit of context. What we'll do is we'll start with just the cloud computing basics. You know, we have the infrastructure as a service, the platform as a service, the software as a service. Everyone has probably seen this 100 times. But the exciting thing about Windows Azure is that we now have this concept of infrastructure as a service. And I'm sure that that's part of what is really bridging our two worlds here, Blaine, right, is that the fact that we can now really take virtual machines that is something you guys have always worked with the IT folks inside their own data centers, right, virtual machines, and now we can put those up in Windows Azure. So it's really bridging the two spaces really well. Classically, and where we started out with Windows Azure was platform as a service. And the idea with that, and this gets more into the developer space, but you take a code file, which is essentially a compile from Visual Studio that represents your website or your application, and then you ship that up to Windows Azure as a package file, which is essentially a fancy zip file, and then Windows Azure deploys all the virtual machines and everything else behind the scenes to manage it. And the real advantage there is that you completely abstract the operating system and not just the hardware and the network, but all the patches and everything else that goes with the operating system is managed by Windows Azure. So we have then this really large continuum then of ways we can ship our code up into Azure and have it managed based on what you need. Now, right now, we've got about 8 different Windows Azure data centers spread across the world. We've got 4 in the United States. We have the East and West data centers, and then what we call North Central and South Central, and those are the blue dots. We also have East and West Europe, and then also 2 in Asia. We also have CDN endpoints, and one of the features that Windows Azure has is a really huge and scalable and durable storage mechanism that we just call Azure Blob Storage, where you could essentially put any kind of binary objects in there, like images or virtual hard drives or whatever it is. And we can then, if you're looking to spread those assets out, for example, if it's part of a website and you have images or JS files, you can put those inside the Blob Storage CDN or Content Delivery Network, and then those can get edge cached around the world, and those locations are the green circles. And so the idea there is that you can now very easily scale an application worldwide and have your application hosted at any of the number of blue circles and then have any static resources in any of the green circles. So you could rapidly reach your end users, which is particularly valuable in web applications. And so now that we've got these virtual machines, it really gives you complete control over your entire virtual machine. So whether you're building up a VM completely on premises where you've got very specific installation and everything else that goes with it, or if you are looking to not get so involved with building a virtual machine, you just want us to run a website, that's what we have the cloud services for, and then also a new thing that we call Windows Azure Websites. But with the PowerShell, we're going to focus mostly on the cloud service and virtual machine aspect, because it's all about managing those things. Okay, so let's. What we'll do is we'll dive into some PowerShell script, and I'll show you the portal, and then we'll also look at some PowerShell examples of some of the things we could do. So this is an example of what the current Windows Azure portal looks like. This is the new preview portal that's all HTML5 based, and within the portal, I can go in and look at any number of virtual machines that I've got set up. Cloud services as well, so these would be the actual websites that I've set up. So right now I have it, if I click on this, we could dive in. I've got a bunch of different websites here running as various cloud services, and then also any virtual machines. I currently don't have any, but the nice thing with this is if we go, say, into virtual machines, and I'd like to create a new VM, one of the interesting things here, and I don't know how much you guys focus on this in the IT space, but if you click from gallery, we have all these different base VM images that you can select from when setting up your virtual machine. So it's pretty cool to see this, that it's not just Windows Server, but we also have several Linux distributions to choose from, or you can upload your own virtual hard drive and use that. So it's pretty cool to see that we have this flexibility then to take a virtual machine or a base image that we have, and it gives you that ultimate in flexibility. Now, typically, what developers would do or IT folks would do, you could do all of this directly through the portal, but behind the scenes, there's a management API that you can use to control everything. In fact, that's exactly what the portal is doing behind the scenes. It leverages the management API. And for IT folks in particular, it's really cool to be able to use PowerShell to do a lot of these basic tasks. So I'll open up the PowerShell script that I just created here. And I'll do this in Power GUI, but you can do it in whichever scripting environment you prefer. Now, one of the things that I'll point out is that the PowerShell scripts started out as the Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets, and they're still up on CodePlex, and that was a not officially supported Microsoft thing that we had up there, and people just download it and use it. Now, at the same time, those because they are so popular, they actually are now supported inside the Windows Azure. But that's a process that's ongoing, and so currently some of the original Windows Azure PowerShell commandlets still have some functionality that the official ones don't yet support. So we have this somewhat of a hybrid thing right now between, you know, depending on what you want to do, but a lot of the features are currently there inside inside the officially supported PowerShell commandlets. In fact, there's this page up on MSDN under Windows Azure PowerShell where you can see all of the Windows Azure management commandlets, and these are the official ones that are that come as part of the Windows Azure SDK and all the PowerShell commandlets that are in here that you can leverage. So this is just a good reference of everything you can currently do.
So you just download these and add them into your PowerShell.
Right. You can add them. In fact, by default now, because when you download the SDK, this will come out of the box. So as long as you install the Azure SDK, prior to this, you would need to go to CodePlex and then download and manually install all of the PowerShell commandlets. Now, as it so happens, I have both installed because there are some things you could do inside the commandlets that are up on CodePlex that you can't currently do in the official release commandlets, but that's slowly changing. In fact, if you go to the CodePlex page today, it'll say, you know, hey, we're leaving these up for the time being because not every feature is actually supported yet. And we know that obviously some people need to do that. And I've got an example of this actually doing the traffic management that's at the bottom of the script. So in this situation, let's just say that I want to set up a couple of different services. And what I've done here is I've just created two services, or I'm going to define two services inside my PowerShell window here as variables, and we'll just call them BHitney PowerShell NC, and then the other one WE, and the NC is for North Central, and then the WE is for West Europe. So let's set up two services then, one in each location, and I already have a storage account here defined, and I'm sharing out my key for everybody to see. So I'll change this right after I'm done with this. But this will be a storage account that I'd like to use to upload everything. Now, because of the way Windows Azure Management works, is that you need a certificate in order to interact with the management API. It doesn't use usernames and passwords. That's what you would use to get into the portal. But to interact with everything, you need a certificate. And so this is where you can do one of two things. You could either create yourself a self-sign certificate and then upload it to the Windows Azure portal, or if you're in a more fancy, properly set up, you know, IT infrastructure, you might get issued a management certificate from your IT admin. But either way, I've got my Windows Azure subscription ID, which you would get from the portal or from your IT admin, and then I've got the thumbprint of the certificate that I'd like to use that I've already installed on my machine. We've got my PowerShell demo storage account, and the storage account is where I'll prop up my images. So if I'm copying a service or a virtual machine up, that's what I want to use. We have our two service names. I'll also create a storage account for each service. So we've got a storage account for North Central and then West Europe. Now, storage accounts are free, essentially. There's no, you can park something there, and then you would always want a storage account associated with any deployment that you happen to have, it just makes sense to do that, because that way they're in the same data center, and you would just put all of your stuff inside that storage account, and then the more data you put in there, the more cost it consumes. But since you don't pay for bandwidth inside the data center, it just always makes sense to have a storage account associated with any deployment. So what we'll do is we'll just dive down into some of this script here and talk about what it's doing. There are a few things you could do. In fact, I don't have to do these every time, but I have them in script where we're just setting up some Azure subscription information. And what that allows us to do is persist this subscription info for later on, so I don't always have to go through all this declaration stuff each time, but that's just an example of what you could do there. The real meat of this comes right down here where I've got this configure the North Central location. And what we're going to do is create a new Windows Azure storage account. And the nice thing is with all this is there's IntelliSense that backs it, tells you exactly what you need to provide. But I'm going to give it the name of my storage name, NC, which was that variable we declared up there, and then the location in North Central US. And then, so this creates a storage account, and then we create the actual Windows Azure service, which will be the where our code is going to live inside the virtual machine. And once we have the service set up, we'll create a new deployment. And the deployment now, a given Azure service, it can have a deployment as part of it. That's where you'll actually put your code inside a service. So we'll create a new service inside that. And I happen to have my PowerShell demo site, which is a package file right here. This would be something a developer would typically create and perhaps give that to the IT guy to deploy. And so that's what it needs. You need a package file and a configuration file. And so I've already got these two created from Visual Studio. The next thing is the slot. There are two slots inside Windows Azure. There's a staging slot and then the production slot for your service. And the idea with the staging slot is it's a great place to prop up code immediately before going live. It's a great place to just do a last-minute smoke test of your code before you hit the button to go live. And once you have done that, you get a unique URL for that staging deployment. It does not affect your current production deployment at all, but it allows you then to say, okay, it's up and running, go check it out, give it to your developers, give it to your marketing folks, look at it, and once they say it's good, you can then call move Azure deployment, and that will automatically switch the staging deployment to production, and then the production deployment back to staging, and then you could dismantle it, you know, the staging, which was your old code, whenever you'd like to. So the way we'll do this to actually get started, I'll highlight this code, and I will just run this selection. Now, this is going to take a few minutes because what it's going to do is it's going to create that storage account. And one of the differences with the official Windows Azure commandlets that's a little bit different from the ones that are up on PowerShell is they do operate asynchronously. Now, the way it worked in the previous release was you had to call a particular line of code, which was get operation status, wait to complete. And the idea with that is, since it operates asynchronously, if you had all of this back to back, you would just go through it so quick that you would then try creating your service before you would create your storage account before your service was ready, and then you tried to create a deployment. And it takes a few moments to go through all this. You can see that my script here is still executing. So with the new PowerShell commandlets that you get as part of the SDK, they are synchronous by default, which means you don't have to do anything. Each line of code will not execute until the previous one is done. So that's the nice thing about this, is that, you know, you don't have to do any kind of wonky waiting to before something is ready. So once the storage account is done, we'll create the service and then the Azure deployment. And this is still executing. And what we can do is go over to the portal, and under my cloud services, we should see this showing up here any moment. Okay, so back in the portal, if I go into storage, you'll see that I've got my B. Hitney Storage North Central account, and it's currently resolving. So right now, the PowerShell script is waiting until this is done before moving on and creating the cloud service. Okay, so we waited a few moments here, and my storage account is done. I'll click over to the cloud service, and here we have the BHITME PowerShell NC that is currently up and running inside production. And if we click on that and dive in, currently we could see that it says not all role instances are ready. One is currently starting. And so it does take a few moments for everything to start up, but we did push everything. It is currently booting the VM as we speak. If we go back to the PowerShell script and check it out, you'll see that everything was echoed out to the console, right? We created a new storage account. We created the service. We then created the deployment, and then we moved that deployment from staging into production. Now, in this case, I did the move from staging and production just to really demo that you can do it. You could, of course, right here where I've got the slot going into staging, you could just do it directly to production if you wanted to, but just to show that that functionality is there. The next thing we could do inside the script is configure the West Europe, let's remove my comment there, but we could configure our West Europe deployment, and this is really the same thing. We're deploying the exact same code up there, but the idea with this is it's going to let us then run our website in the West Europe data center and then also in the North Central data center. Now, if I keep scrolling down, in fact, just for time purposes, we won't bother going through that individual block of code or at least running it. But the next thing we can do, and just to show you what some of the capability is within Windows Azure, there's something called the Windows Azure Traffic Manager. And essentially, it's a global DNS. And the nice thing about this is that it lets you set up any number of endpoints. And in my case, I've got two services that we created. We've got the West Europe and the North Central, they both have a .cloudapp.net name. So if I were to go to my PowerShell.cloudapp.net, whatever name I gave it, I'll see that website coming from, say, the North Central location. I can also go directly to the West Europe one. But the traffic manager allows us to specify those as endpoints and then globally load balance across both of those. So there's a few advantages to that. One is that if there's ever an outage someplace, either at the data center level or just with our code or whatever happens, the traffic manager can reroute everybody to a different location. So it gives you that global load balancing, that fault tolerance that you get from that. But the other advantage is that we can tell it to be performance based, which means that anybody who's in Europe will have a better experience going to the Europe deployment versus everyone in the U.S. Because they're closer to those data centers, and so it will serve content directly from those data centers. So there's a few different ways you can configure this, and these are all called basically the load balancing method. In this case, you could see that I'm specifying a definition based on performance. You can also do failover. There's a couple of other things you could do within that. But once this traffic manager profile gets created and gets set up, it will then automatically load balance based on the domain name that you happen to have. In this case, I just gave it the domain name of my blog, but so it won't actually work. But you could, if you owned a DNS name, you would point it at this, and then the traffic manager will automatically route you between the two. And then finally, the nice thing we can do with all of this is once it is up and running, we can also rip everything down directly from cleanup, directly from this cleanup script. So if we have our deployment name, in this case, for the West Europe one, and then also from North Central, I can come in and select this and run that. And this will automatically, in this case, I have it, it's going to prompt me for this, but I'll just say yes, or we can automate that just to automatically do it. But now it'll automatically go in and rip down my deployment. And so if we go back to this page and we look at all of our cloud services, we'll see that this will get ripped down once the website refreshes.
That's great. It's great. Great demo. Let's go up to the scripting center. If you want to try this out, folks, you go to http://try/azure, get your 90-day subscription, check it out, fire up a VM, go through and set up going through the image gallery. So this is great, Brian. What else do you want to leave them with?
Yeah, no, this is really the best place to go is up on MSDN and checking it out and looking at all the things you could do with taking your VMs, automatically shipping them up and copying them up into the cloud. Just having all of this automated really makes, not just for IT folks, but developers too, just makes it so much easier. Once you learn this all these commandlets that do this stuff for you, just, gosh, it becomes so easy to build out a global presence in really just a few minutes.
Well, thanks a lot, Brian, for being on IT Time.
All right. Thanks for having me. It's, awesome hopefully job. People go out and download it or get if you don't have it, if you don't have a Windows Azure account, you can get a free trial. Or if you have an MSDN license, which I know a lot of people do, subscription, you get a lot of time associated with it. So it's a great opportunity to learn and play around with.
Excellent. So you make sure you sign up for your 90-day subscription. With that, thanks for being on IT Time. Hope to have you back for another episode. And with that, it's a wrap.